When I thought about what I wanted to say here today, I read the little title about, you know, what's wrong with the system. I actually don't agree with that. Because for me, the criminal justice system is working. The problem is you have to understand, and I think this is what John talked about and Mark talked about, what are the goals of that system? If we think it's a justice system, if we're seeking justice, there are a number of ways we're not going to get it from that system. But if you understand that what that system is meant to do is to control people, it's meant to assimilate people, it's just another one of those systems that are intended to turn me into a white man, and trust me, that ain't never going to happen. So that system is doing precisely what it was intended to do. That's the problem. I want to talk to you about some facts of the incarceration of what's called Aboriginal people in Canada. We're overrepresented in the Canadian criminal justice system. Everybody knows that. That's become, you know, kind of standard fare. We're also underrepresented in that system. We are not the police officers, the lawyers, the judges. We are generally not anyone in that system who has any kind of authority. We're the fodder for that system. And I have family members presently incarcerated. Another fact about the over-incarceration or over-representation of Aboriginal people in the justice system, because it's just not over-incarceration, it's increasing. It's not decreasing. Despite all of the studies, all of the little tinkery-do things they do to the system, the trying to staff prisons with Aboriginal people, the Native liaison programs, the starting of some Native allegedly philosophically based institutions, the overrepresentation of my people continues to increase. So we've done nothing, although we recognize that so-called social problem in the mid-70s of overrepresentation. Nothing has happened to stop the fact that that system is being built on the back of largely my brothers, my cousins, my uncles, and hopefully not my sons. My friend Patty Tate, and Patty, you know what my memory's like, so if my stats are way off, please stand up, holler at me, and correct me, was talking to a friend of hers, so these may not be, you know, 100% reliable, it's the word of mouth kind of thing. That person was cruising the internet and found out that black, largely men in the States, were incarcerated at a rate of 800 per 100,000 population. First Peoples in Canada are incarcerated at a rate of 1,600 per 100,000 population. That means that the rate of incarceration of First Peoples in Canada is two times the rate of incarceration of blacks in the States. In the prairies, go to the institutions. Walk into SaskPen with me, where 80% of that federal medium security prison are Aboriginal men. The studies that have been done, it's not a lack of knowledge that's our problem. We've been studied to death, particularly vis-a-vis the justice system. The problem is the failure to implement any of those things that have been found. The overrepresentation of Aboriginal people in the justice system and the underrepresentation did not start in the 1970s. That, you know, when I'm teaching my class, I tell my students that's the light bulb year, the report of Indian people and the justice system. It started before that. I know that in 1921 in Saskatchewan, Aboriginal people only made up 5% of the provincially sentenced jail population. And these figures are hard to get because race wasn't counted in the 1920s when we were incarcerating people. That's actually kind of a new social phenomena as well. But we have that one stat. So between 1920 and the year 2000, we've gone from 5% in a Saskatchewan provincial institution to 80%, probably closer to 100% at some of the provincial institutions in the province. You've got to ask yourself, what happened? How did we do that? And one of the chief of Kwakwatoose First Nation in southeastern Saskatchewan told me that the overrepresentation of Aboriginal people in the Canadian criminal justice system coincides with the removal of the Indian agent from First Nations. The Indian agent used to have the power to be the police, the crown attorney, and the judge. So he picked you up and arrested you and sentenced you, just, you know, the whole works. I'm not saying that was a good system. I think that system stunk too. But at least what the consequence of that system did is it kept the so-called crime and disorder problem in the community. Kept on the reserve. The removal of the Indian agent and the decentralization of the powers of control over us is the causal factor in that kind of urbanized contact with the criminal justice system. I want to talk briefly about women. I want to talk briefly about women in prison, and one of the most difficult things I ever did in my life, which was the Task Force on Federally Sentenced Women. As someone who doesn't believe in prisons, I ended up on this task force where we were recommending the closing of P4W, which I understand was accomplished in the last 24 hours. There are now no longer any women at P4W. Don't clap yet, they're going to put somebody else in there. May just not be women. We recommended the closure of prison for women, and instead, this is the don't clap now part still, we got 5 new facilities. And they're talking about building more institutions for women, which I take as a direct violation of the trust that I placed in that system. Because building those institutions was conditional on not creating any more beds for women. They've done that. The Healing Lodge in Nikinit, Saskatchewan. I'm heartbroken over that institution. The truth of the matter is that institution was built on the deaths of Indian women, the women who were committing suicides at P4W in 89-90. The price of that institution for me is life. The Correctional Service of Canada is resisting at every possible opportunity to turn that institution over to the community who surrendered land to corrections to be able to run that institution. And the justification I hear from the service is that it's better than before. Well, if my granny ever heard me justify bad behavior by saying that it's better than before, she'd be chasing me around with a red willow. That's not the standard. It's not the standard that I was raised to excel to. You know, and the irony is we're now building all these healing lodges all over the place, primarily for men. As women involved in the task force, or the Indian women involved in the task force on federally sentenced women, we were very concerned about doing something just for women and leaving the men behind because we worry about our brothers. You know, all of those lodges that are being built for the men now have greater community control from the get-go than the institution, that healing lodge for women, can claim. So as Indian women within that system, you know, the task force, the women said, we're but a mere footnote. Well, if the women are a mere footnote, then the Indian women are the footnote within the footnote in our own territories. One last thing to say. Please be careful of using the word healing. I think it's a very dangerous word particularly when it's applied to Aboriginal people. Yes, we have to heal. When you talk to Corrections Canada or whoever, non-Indian people, about healing, you can almost see them perk up. It's a warm, fuzzy, you know, makes us feel good word. Healing is not easy. When you're surviving things like residential schools, when you're surviving state violence, the taking of your land, the taking of your children, the prohibition of ceremonies, you know, repealing that doesn't make it go away. The impact still exists in our communities. Healing is very, very difficult. You are not going to accomplish healing in a sentencing circle. I'm not a fan of sentencing circles. I generally don't speak out very publicly about not really supporting sentencing circles, because anything that keeps an Indian man out of jail, that's A in my books. However, please look at what that's doing to our communities. You're taking people from our community, sentencing them in a circle. You strip them bare publicly in an afternoon or a day. Some of our people have very dysfunctional coping mechanisms. They may be drunken, they may be drinking or drugging, but they're still here. You take those coping mechanisms away before you put something else in place, you put them at risk. The criminal justice system has gotten on this sentencing circle bandwagon. Moving the courtroom around, or moving the furniture around in a courtroom, does not shift power to our communities. It's still the judge in control of that circle. You can appeal a sentencing circle to three white men wherever, sometimes white women, to courts of appeal, and step over the elders' prayers. Appeal it to people who weren't even there in that circle. That's a huge offense to the old people who I respect. And the most deadly thing that sentencing circuses has accomplished is it transfers the responsibility that the criminal justice system has to our communities. Because who is it, after that man has been stripped bare, that looks after him? It's the elders. It's the people in the community. It's the people with the very fewest resources, both kind of social and fiscally, with the largest social problems, the greatest crisis, who are asked to do more on no new money. That's not healing. That's not success in my books. Healing is not pretty. It's tough. When you're a survivor of all of those abuses, both the obvious physical ones, the spiritual, the taking of language, when you take your cork out, because we have this cork here to keep us from feeling, when you take that cork out, there's a lot of anger and ugliness that comes out, a lot of rage. That's not a bad thing, because those people have earned that rage. You have to help them through that process. If you just get them to the point of releasing some of their anger and rage and you let them down, they're going to stick their cork back in again, because healing hurts. And we lose them for good, or at least that's my fear. For me, the answer is in the people. It's in our communities, and it's particularly in the women, because it is the women who nurture, who love unconditionally. It is from women that each and every one of us in this room came from. The answer is with the women. Yo, no, and Koa.